Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I didn't realize when I began preparing this sermon, I didn't realize that Packers play the Bears today. You know, whether they were 0-13, you know, it's still an important day. It's just the way it works. So, I think at least the first part of this sermon today you will enjoy. Most of you know what brought me to northern Wisconsin was managing a territory. That territory shifted and had different shapes throughout the years, grew actually quite large. But throughout most of it, I had Green Bay as a territory. Well, you can't be in Green Bay and not be affected by the Green Bay Packers or by Lambeau Field. So on occasion, I would take clients to lunch at Lambeau Field. And with the restaurant upstairs and so on and so forth, you just can't walk in there and not be taken by the place, especially when you're walking by those large statues outside, one of them of Vince Lombardi, and I think there's one there, maybe Curly Lambeau, and it's just packed full of history. But in the half a dozen times that I was there, I would always walk over, and I'd grab a hold of the door that led to the field. And because it was lunchtime, that door was always locked. So throughout all that time, I never got to actually see the field. I had no idea what it looked like. And I really didn't mind. I just was nosy. I wanted to see what it was. Well, one day, a friend of mine came up to me and said, "I got an extra ticket. You want to go watch a Packer game?" And my first inclination was, you know, football games are football games. I've been to football games at high school. I've sat out in the cold. I've sat on aluminum bleachers after forgetting my hot pad. I've done all that. And this was, you know, this time of year. I thought, you know, no, I don't think I want to go. Well, Tina found out that I was asked and knows that I've never been there. And in no uncertain terms, she said, "If he hasn't already asked somebody else, you go back and tell him you're going." Okay. Well, it worked out. It was a Sunday evening game. And I could rearrange my schedule so that while being there, I just stayed there. And I could work the following day. So it wasn't an issue of missing any work. It worked out quite well. Well, we got there. As the game approached, my preconceived notion of how this was all going to work and what this was going to look like was really quite apparent, that I was going now simply because three good friends had asked me to join them. The forecasted temperature that night, which they were spot on, started out at dark at 7 below 0. The wind was blowing. I mean, the American flag, as big as that flag is, never, ever, ever left straight out. That's how fast it was blowing. And we're standing out in a parking lot, shivering like everybody, walking by again these great big statues to get in there. And I'm thinking, you know, the best seat in the house is my recliner ahead of the fireplace. What am I doing here? And, of course, the gentleman that invited me had season tickets. So these tickets, they were good seats. We weren't up in the stratosphere. We were basically, he told me that they were between the 40s, okay? So we get inside, wasn't much warmer in there, and we moved through whatever little doorway it was, and I think we actually went down to get to our seats from where we were. And I walked out and I saw that field. It was dark out. And everything was lit. And I still get a lump in my throat when I think about walking in there and seeing this sight, this icon of Wisconsin, of Green Bay, and the fans. I'm sure they found a way to get more fans in than they got in that night. They probably stuck them in a broom closet here and there just so they could set the record. But we set a record that night at 7 below 0. And the energy of the place and the life in the place. Now I understood why every now and then everybody needs to go to at least one game. because my preconceived notions of what that field looked like and the environment were shattered the minute I walked through that door. And I stood on those bleachers. I missed very little of the game. I stayed all the way through. Now, what made this so important that night, and this, by the way, was my very, very first Packer game, but it was the NFC Championship game against the New York Giants. And it was the last game that Brett Favre played in a Packer jersey. So there was all kind of, yeah, this is the one that I said, nah, I don't want to go. You imagine that? So that was the response of my wife. She said, you go back and tell that man you're going to go to that football game. We sat through it. We sat through everything. And if you remember that game as I do, we sat right through to the field goal that beat the Packers. I have never heard 57 or 58,000 fans so quiet in my life. Because you went from one point of being able to hear nothing to another point of hearing nothing. It was a big letdown. But the energy in the place, we knew that within that environment, it didn't affect what I thought of the night. I think they should have won, but it didn't affect my experience of the night. Win or lose, it was just an unbelievable night. And it gave us hope. Okay, because of that type of commitment from people and the fans, you know that Green Bay was always going to be in this. And it wasn't but 4 short years later they did. They gave us a Super Bowl in 2010. And this year again, we have that kind of hope. At least for today, they got to beat the Bears. And I know we're full of Bear fans too. That's what I was wondering whether or not I was going to put that out there, but I can tell you this much, it will be a good game. And win, lose, or draw, you know, everybody has that hope and promise of the next step, the next season, okay, that tournament. And we don't know what that'll bring, but that's what we hope for. It was an experience that you can tell just by my excitement in telling it that I never forgot. Because I went there thinking one thing. All it was going to be was something I was going to have to pull myself through. I had it all figured out, and the minute I walked through that door, it all changed. Everything changed. Metaphorically speaking, there's a door opening right now. In today's gospel, Jesus is walking through that door. People are looking at Jesus. And John, whose ministry is beginning to decline, who's in prison, who doesn't know what the next thing is to come, wonders, is this the one? Now, in text study this week, I asked the question, why was he doubting? Wasn't John the one who baptized him? Was not John the one that saw the dove descend and light on him? And yet, John wasn't sure. So he sent the disciples to ask the question bluntly and plainly, are you the one, or are we to expect another? And Jesus replied, go back and tell John what you see and what you hear. That the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and the poor are given hope. Go back and tell him that. We don't know how John received that. And I'm not necessarily sure if that answer made John all that comfortable. You see, there was a struggle in the day of the preconceived notion of what the Messiah was to be, what it was to be like. And many believed this to be some type of a military conqueror, somebody that the people on earth would rally around to push out the oppressors once and for all and reestablish that throne of David physically in Jerusalem once and for all. Jesus didn't look like that. Jesus didn't come preaching rebellion. He didn't come preaching war. He didn't come preaching dissent. He came preaching love. He came preaching forgiveness. He came preaching healing and helping and caring for one another. He came preaching all those things that worked. Because all the things with war, Up until the time of Jesus and after the time of Jesus, they don't work. We know now that wars don't change the minds of people. Wars don't change the hearts of people. Love does. Forgiveness does. Hope does. So was Jesus the promised Messiah that they were to look for? Yes. But he was the promised Messiah that would come to take away our sins, to sacrifice himself for us, and give us the hope and the promise of eternal life in his own resurrection. Now there's another promise to be kept here, which is what they were looking for, and James is speaking to as well, and that's his second coming. And will Jesus come again to rule here? And the answer is yes. And we should live in anticipation of that. We should live lives expecting that. But in doing so, don't have any preconceived notions in the time. Look at Advent. John's question is truly an Advent question. He's looking and saying, is this fulfilled for me? And the answer is yes, it was. But Jesus came not to wage war, but to give the world hope. And as we approach Christmas, I encourage you, I even challenge you to continue to look at that manger, to look at that stable, to look at that birth with no preconceived notions, but to let the Holy Spirit enlighten you and to breathe new life in it for you, to give it that different experience that we need each and every year to be properly prepared for that day when our Lord returns. For in that humble, quiet stable, hope was born. In that small child was and is the hope of all humanity. It's something to be excited about. It's something that we tend over the course of a year to lose. We forget. And that is why we come together to remember, to live in that hope, to live in the light of the Christ child. Because that child gave us so much that night to hope for. He gave us so much before his crucifixion. He gave us one another. He gave us the command to love one another. He gave of himself in the presence and the bread and the wine so that we might never feel alone, that we may be strengthened, that we may persevere and look for his coming again. And he will come. Trust that. And the world will be changed forever. There will be no more hurting, no more agony, no more grief, no more sin, no more struggle. That day will come. Because you see, as the psalmist said, God keeps his promises forever. And I'll leave you with this just once more because I believe it to be so very important. The hope that the Christ child brings is not like hoping the Packers or the Bears bring home a Super Bowl. It's not the same. The hope that the Christ child brings is that God will do this for you and for me. We just need to be patient because he will do these things in his good time. I encourage you, walk through that door like I did. Be amazed. Be surprised. Be enlightened. Be energized. Be blessed. And live in the hope and the promise, once again, that the Christ child brings. Amen.